This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Our listeners are so smart. I am looking in the YouTube chat, and just about every time I drop a tease, like I did in our last segment, the big favor that Clayton McCullough did for the Padres last night. Someone always already knows what I'm talking about. They like suss it out immediately.
What are we, British show? No, yeah. Suss it out.
Sussing it out immediately.
Don't be a bellend.
I was shocked before the game when I saw the Marlins lineup. And Kyle Stowers, who is the hottest hitter in baseball right now, over the last month or so, I think since, what is it, June 21st, leads MLB in home runs, like first in OPS, first or second in RBI. I mean, he's as hot as it gets. How do you bat a guy that insanely hot fifth?
Is it because he's hitting fifth and he doesn't want to move him? Is that where he's having all his success?
I mean, you can rationalize it however you want.
But if you're the Marlins and you're, you know, I mean, they're in third place in their division, by the way. They're a third place team, which is insane, in the East. And, you know, they're not playing for much, I would say, this season, other than to find out who they've got and who are their dudes going forward. And he's definitely one of them. I don't think they're going to move him. But is that where he's been hitting and that's where he's having his success? Because it's really hard as a manager to yank a guy out of that spot where he's getting good pitches to hit and he's doing damage with them. But I understand your point.
Well, I think what I was looking at was, I know Mike Shildt looks at that and goes, I don't want Randy Vasquez to face him a third time.
That's exactly
right. And if you have him near the top of the order, how early am I going to have to pull him out to keep him from doing that?
Great point.
He was batting fifth, that allowed Randy to get into the fifth and set up then Adrian Morejon for a perfect lane of five batters to get through, you know, with one of the nastiest relievers in and neutralize what is one of the biggest weapons for the Miami Marlins in that game. I mean, he could not have set it up any better for Mike Shildt by waiting to bat their biggest weapon fifth in the order. And fine, I'll, you know, take any mistake or perceived mistake that the opponent will make and use it to your advantage. And I thought the Padres and Mike Shildt, Adrian Morejon, they used it to their advantage last night because I didn't want to see Kyle Stowers face Randy Vasquez again.
No. By the way, Adrian Morejon has a case for the best left-handed reliever in the game of baseball right now. His ranks, Ben,
it's pretty insane.
His ranks against or amongst left-handed relief pitchers, his F4 is 1.7, that's second. His ERA is 1.76, that's second. His FIP, fielding independent pitching, is two, that's second among left-handed relief pitchers. And he is absolutely insane. His sinker last night was incredible. 33% whiff rate, 50% chase rate from a left-handed reliever coming in, locking down, getting his five outs, getting the win. You know, that's one of those, Paulie, we talked to a couple weeks ago about, yeah, it's not cool when a guy comes in and throws, you know, a pitch and gets a win. That's one that you feel like Adrian Morejon was the winner of that game.
Yep.
You know, he's brilliant. Yeah. He's been brilliant. So finding a slot for him after all these years of looking for a slot for Adrian Morejon has been incredible.
However, it still does look, as we mentioned earlier, that the Padres are looking for bullpen help. Kevin Acey in his newsletter this morning reiterated that it's really not sustainable to have both, you know, Jason Adam and Adrian Morejon and Jeremiah Estrada all trending toward 80-plus appearances in a season. I mean, that's a lot for the back end of the bullpen. And what one stat that blew my mind, Sunday's win, Woods, when they won without any of those guys, was just the fourth time all season that the Padres have won without pitching at least one of the horsemen in a game.
That's crazy.
I mean, they had the Kolek shutout, the Pavetta shutout. You had a couple of shutouts, and you had Sunday, and I'm not sure what the fourth one was. But essentially, you don't win without those guys. At least one, usually two, sometimes three, and more often than not lately, all four of them coming in to have to, you know, secure a one-run lead and walk a tightrope all the way to the ninth inning, which they successfully did again last night.
And I think the biggest fear for all of us is that you look at it and you go, man, that's a lot of use. You know, it's a lot of wear and tear on these arms. If we get to the postseason, are they going to be washed? Those guys, all of them, to a man, are dogs. Every one of them want the ball. They want the big situation. You know, listen, Mother Nature takes over at some point and you don't have it anymore. You lose it. You're tired. You're gassed, whatever it is. But we watched the LA Dodgers win a World Series with just a bullpen last year. And I'm pretty sure those guys were used heavily in the regular season as well. It can be done. What is inside of these guys to make them want the ball to go out and get it done? I don't think they care. They just want the ball. And I'm pretty sure that Schilt would give them the ball every single game if it meant us winning games. Of course we're going to worry about them falling off. Of course we're going to worry about them running out of gas. But, man, when you look at the human beings that make up those guys, all four of them, to a man, are dogs. They all want it really, really badly. So I can understand why Mike Schilt's like, I'm rolling the dice. I'm going to keep rolling the dice until I crap out. When you crap out, man, that's not up to you. You know what I mean? That's not up to you. You keep rolling out your best guys until it doesn't work.
So we are hearing reports that, you know, AJ is shopping for relief pitching as well to bolster one of his strengths. Padres now have the best bullpen ERA in all of baseball. They passed the San Francisco Giants yesterday. But it also means he might not be able to address another area. And it's starting to look like that area could be catching. That we may just be rolling with Elias Diaz and Martin Maldonado, which seemed unfathomable
like
2 weeks ago.
I was going to say even a little bit longer, because I think it was about 2 weeks ago that we started talking about the fact that Mike Schilt loves both of these guys. He loves them. And, you know, I think given the opportunity to upgrade a catcher, I don't know if he would. I don't know if he would. I said it. People thought it was eyewash that Schilt is just saying that. I don't get that sense. In fact, I've heard that's not the case. He loves these cats, and he wants to roll with them. Now, does that loyalty come back and bite him in the rear end? Maybe.
It depends on what else they do.
Correct.
If they can add a couple of, like, solid bats to that lineup.
Yes, then you don't care.
Then you ride with the nine.
You can't really add two, though. I mean,
You can add one. And a bench piece that is able to fill in.
Right.
And, you know.
But as they're moving guys around, we need better production off
now,
the bench.
Now, what does that look like? Could you possibly then acquire a better player if you don't have to spend anything on catching because you're rolling with Diaz and Maldonado?
Well, you say you don't have to. They're choosing to,
but, you know.
They have to.
Do you devote more resources to acquire what you believe is a better hitter, a DH, a left fielder that can be an everyday player, hit against both lefties and righties, and just be a stud in your lineup, and just go, we know our nine slot is going to go through some massive slumps, you know, potentially in the postseason as well. That's the risk when your catching core is Elias Diaz and Martin Maldonado. Now, in their defense, last, you know, nine games or so, Padres have won 7 out of 9. And there's been contributions from both of those guys.
No question. Last night being one of them.
When they get offensive contributions from the bottom of the order,
we win.
The Padres get 7-9, they win. They are almost unbeatable. Now, I believe only the White Sox have had less offensive production from their 7-8-9 than the San Diego Padres this season.
And we're still, you know.
The White Sox are horrifically bad. The Padres are 10 games above 500. It shows you how much room for improvement they have. But it does sound like Mike Schilt may not be willing to budge on the improvements at catcher because, well, he's comfortable with the guys that they have.
Joanna says, bring back Higgy. I couldn't agree more. I think Kyle Higashioka can be had for almost nothing. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg.
We talked about it last
week. To get Higgy
back. I mean,
back.
Luis Camposano.
What about him?
For Kyle Higashioka.
Oh, straight up. Done.
I mean, if I'm the Rangers, I get at least the dreaming on Camposano, like, hey, let's get our hooks on him.
Yeah,
let's get Brett Boone working with him a little bit as the hitting coach. See if we can get Lundlock at the major league level, what he's already doing at AAA. Work with our catching coaches, and we get out. You know, we're not probably going anywhere. I know the Rangers. I think they climbed back a game above or within 500 yesterday. They're not out of it, but you know, we don't have to pay for the rest of Higgy's contract. Yep. He's just our backup catcher. Why not do that if you're the Texas Rangers? He's the one guy that you feel like Schilt would feel comfortable slotting right in because he knows most of these pitchers already. Yeah. Other than like Nick Pivetta,
right.
He's probably caught or worked with just about everybody in that Padres rotation and bullpen.
Now,
right?
When I was gone, Dylan Cease came out in the second half and pitched his ass off, did he not?
With Diaz,
not Maldonado. Yeah. Okay, now that's a switch that it's like, hey, it only took us 4 months to get there, but Maybe that's the answer. But yeah, I mean, Maldi last night coming through and in a big spot, and you know, helped us win the ball game last night. So yeah, again, it's not our decision. Like, as much as we all want to go get Adley Rutschman and see if we can fix him, or if we want to go get Logan Ohapi, or if we want to go get the kid from Colorado who they're probably not trading, you know, as much as we want it, the skipper, the bullpen coach, the pitching coach, and the manager are the guys that are going to make that decision, ultimately, of like, this is who we want to roll with. And it's like I say all the time, you eat the soup. I mean, what choice do we have? We can pound our fists all we want and think that we need an upgrade. If they're comfortable with it, we got to roll with it. And that's the nature of it.
Talking about Higgy back to Texas, there was one name that our beloved Matt Janella actually threw out when he was in with us on Thursday last week. And I haven't stopped thinking about it. Wyatt Langford. He's on a cheap deal.
I don't think they would trade him, though. He's part of their future, right?
I think he's on a one-year... No. He's got pre-arb next year.
Pre-arb, okay.
Control. Yeah, I mean, I thought it certainly...
That one you might have to attach a prospect to.
It's the kind of thing that AJ swings for 100%. That you never saw coming.
But, like, you know, what would him and Higgy do to that lineup?
Oh, it'd be nasty, dude. Him out in left field, cheats DH. It'd be nasty, dude. Wyatt Langford I got him on my fantasy team.
He's a stud.
He's a good player, gritty player, hungry player, wants it.
Sounds like a Padre.
Sounds like a Padre. That outfield would be pretty dirty.
But I think it would cost a pretty penny, and the Rangers would be very reluctant to part with someone like that.
Yep. They're in a weird spot right now, the Texas Rangers. So
take advantage of it.
As are a lot of teams. They got to figure out what they want to do and who they want to be. But these next, you know, how many games till the deadline? We got about 9 games left till the deadline, something like that, 8 games. I mean, these are huge games. Huge games. Like, teams like the Cardinals, you know, they need to figure out what they are.
Padres would like to help the Cardinals figure out that they're not contenders.
By just destroying them.
This weekend.
Yep.
Would be very helpful, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, I wanted to give a chance for the early risers to win some Padres tickets today. So let's do the giveaway right now. If you'd like to see the Padres take on the Mets next Tuesday, July 29th, first 40,000 fans in attendance receiving a free Padres sandless beach towel, you can call right now, be our eighth caller, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973, to get your own tickets for Padres Mets. That's a big series next week. Go to padres.com/giveaways and /tickets for more details and to get your own tickets for next week's series against the New York Mets. All right, we'll come back. We've got don't and do this when we return. You have a do this item already from a Padre.
Yeah, talking a little eyewash, baby.
And I want to throw in, actually, we may have to do a second don't do this for another San Diego Padre who had a big days the last couple of days. That is coming up.
Don't do this?
I do this as well. Coming up next after traffic with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I want to talk to you about SDFatLoss.com. Their huge summer sale is now on. Take 20% off. Get your lowest prices of the year to lose up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. You can do it now in the summer. I did my weight loss 2 summers ago. Lost 40 pounds in 60 days. I have kept all the weight off because I changed how I think about eating. I changed my metabolism a bit. I didn't have to exercise to lose the weight, but now I can exercise better and more than I ever was able to before thanks to SDFatLoss.com. No injections, no surgeries, and you don't have to buy any prepackaged meals. It's all based on real food, stuff you're going to eat anyway. I ate a lot of chicken and steak and fish during my program. You can do it as well. They'll tailor it to things like you particularly enjoy eating. Yeah, there's some discipline involved, but everyone that I've talked to, and so many tier ones have gone through the program, they say they adjusted quickly. They saw the weight coming off really fast. That's extremely motivational, and they were all able to stick with it and then keep the weight off because it's a sustainable program. Find out how it can work for you by getting a free consultation at SDFatLoss.com, and make sure you take advantage of the huge summer sale. Lowest prices of the year now through August 1st. Start now. You can start in a couple of weeks, whenever is comfortable for you, but do it now. Get your free consultation by going to SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
3 stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this on a Tuesday, brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust and Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Not bad. Paulie did a nice job filling
good.
In while you were gone with the don't, do, and this portion of that sponsor.
Good. It's not that challenging, but I have trouble with it sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I forget.
I guess the don't do this in this story goes to
who does it go
Carlos
to?
Narváez.
Oh, it's so bad.
Carlos Narváez is the catcher for the Boston Red Sox in the 10th inning last night in Philadelphia for one of the most bizarre endings to a baseball game, probably in Major League history last night.
It's a weird one.
If you missed it, it was a 2-2 game. The Red Sox did not score in the top of the 10th, so the Phillies put their Manfred man out on second base to try to win the game. The inning started with a four-pitch walk. You know, they want to put on, runner on first base to set up a force. Then a wild pitch moves the runners to second and third. So they intentional walk again. So all of a sudden, bases loaded, nobody out. You're in a difficult situation. Edmundo Sosa comes to the plate for the Phillies and checks his swing. Tries not to swing. Umpire calls it a ball. But then the Phillies dugout yells out, challenge, challenge, challenge. And when they show the replay, the check swing happened to tip the glove of Carlos Narváez. And they rule it a catcher's interference. And it's a walk-off forcing the runner home from third for just the second time in Major League history. A walk-off catcher's interference. The only other time was back in 1971 when the catcher was Johnny Bench.
Wow.
When it happened. In the only other time in Major League history, at least in the records that they could find. Now, the only thing that's kind of controversial about this, there's really no gray area on the rule. If you swing and you hit the catcher's glove, that's catcher's interference. But he wasn't even trying to swing.
He was
trying
checking.
To stop his swing.
I think the attempt of a swing is still technically a swing.
Yep. I mean, it's a tough way for the Boston Red Sox to lose a game, for sure.
He wore it. You know, he said, take accountability on that one. I got to be better. That cannot happen again. That is their seventh catcher's interference. That's the most in baseball this year. So,
of course, the Padres led last year in catcher's interference, largely due to Matt Waldron being a part of the pitching rotation. And the catcher's trying to grab the ball before
you go get it.
Dove out and somewhere that they couldn't catch it at all.
You see it, you're like, I've got a bead on it. I'm going to go get it.
They use a bigger glove, too.
Yeah, they do. And it's a floppy glove.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, honestly, it's like my first baseman's mitt that hangs like the sleeve of a wizard. It is just loose. And you go out and you try to snatch it, and you're like, all right. It was Higgy. Higgy would always get banged on that. And people would get so mad at him. I'm like, you have no idea what that ball's going to do. And at the last second, sometimes, Benny, you'd see they'd have to flip the glove and try to block it because it would just dive everywhere. So, hey, this was not a knuckleball. This was a fastball.
No, it wasn't.
Try to get. First one since 1971. And
it is the job of the catcher not to get their glove hit by a bat. It just does tend to happen on those weird, late, awful swings by hitters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never, guys trying to swing for the fences and, just miss it. It never happens on those. It always happens when they're completely fooled and they swing really, really late, and there really was never any chance of them getting a hit for the most part, and that's when the catcher's interference happens. So I would imagine it's definitely one of the most frustrating plays in baseball when it happens to your team.
Especially on a walk-off.
Especially on a walk-off.
It's brutal. I mean, look, the chances they win in that, they were going to win that game.
High.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to keep it positive, yeah?
Yeah, double positive.
Double positive. Paulie, if you would.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Got Michael King. Congratulations to Michael King, who looks to be making a return to the mound here pretty soon. What's the date on that? Any updates since
I've
been gone?
Still think sometime in August.
Okay.
Paulie and I speculated that they'd love to get him back for that stretch against the Giants and Dodgers in mid-August, which starts August 11th.
Okay.
Even better yet, maybe get him, a start under his belt before then, but Obviously, the rehab is going to dictate how quickly he truly gets back.
Do we know?
To the
mound. Is he throwing off a mound yet?
Yeah, he's now throwing off mounds and up to like pretty much
like full.
He said, "I feel 100%." Now it's just about working my way back in terms of endurance and stamina, and just locking
in the mechanics. Aren't we all looking for a little more endurance and stamina?
Control and mechanics.
And control.
Got to get back.
And mechanics. Yeah. We're all everybody.
Who
amongst us? By the way. Congratulations, though, to Michael and Sheila King. Their baby girl was born. Do we have a name?
I have not seen
a
name.
Charlotte? Did I see that? I just made that up off the top of my head.
Hang on.
Anybody know? Somebody in the chat.
Grace McCray.
Just guess
King.
If you don't know, Woodsy. Charlotte.
Grace.
Kimberly. It's Grace?
Grace.
Well, welcome to the planet.
Grace was actually born a week ago, but we just saw some of the pictures yesterday.
Saw a cool video, him walking out. His family was in the waiting room, and he had the blue hat and the pink hat, because they were going to be surprised.
They didn't know beforehand.
Which, again, it's serial killer behavior, in my opinion.
Okay.
It is. It's serial killer behavior. I, no offense. If you do that, I think you might be a serial killer because the planning that you have to do for a child is immense. And then waiting to the last second.
It's also how it worked for all of human history until just, the last, generation or so.
That's
you never
true.
Had the option of finding out.
That's true. But now we do. And so why not?
People also rode on horseback across the country. Still could.
You could have
gone to
Manchester on a boat to see your favorite band play. But you don't. Now you have planes.
Steamship.
Well, he's going to be back in 8 months. He's going to see his favorite band, and the ship is leaving out of New York. And he'll see us in 8 months.
Gonna
he's going to be back
he's
on the air.
Ride his horse to New York, get on the steamship for 2 months, go see the concert, and then on his way back on the steamship.
We'll see him in 2027. Guys, it was amazing. I met this guy from Australia. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, I met him 18 months ago, but still.
He's coming out. He's going to be here 3 years. Oh, it's so good. And then how about another doo-doo this?
DD mega doo-doo.
I absolutely loved this quote. I was flying. I was somewhere over the United States yesterday when I got my, Wi-Fi to work. And I was able to watch this clip of Gavin Sheets on Foul Territory or Fair Territory, one of the two, talking about the difference in playing for the San Diego Padres and playing for, his former team. He didn't mention them by name, but he's talking about how the Padres do their business. Now, I, as a fan, I love eyewash. I love the... I do.
Is he trying to protect the identity of his former team as if no one knows?
Yeah, as if nobody knows.
White Sox.
Yeah, we do things a little bit different here than in Chicago. But he's talking about how the Padres handle their business, and I loved this quote, and I thought it was very indicative of what we've learned about this team, really since Mike Schilt's been at the helm.
The way we prepare here and the stuff available to us is awesome. Just preparing on a daily basis for the pitcher at hand. And but I just like how simple they keep it. They take out the eyewash, and the most important thing is 6:40 every night. It's not about we get our work in for sure. But when you show up to the ballpark every day, you understand the most important thing is once the game starts. And I think that's most important. You keep all your effort and your energy and you save it up for the game, and we're extremely prepared. And the way we go about our business and the way we talk in meetings and just prepare for the game is pretty special.
You can't say that about, because that was kind of a big deal here a few years back. Padres were, I would say, behind the curve on a lot of this. Now, I don't think that they have been at their disposal and I've heard that, certain teams have every single little detail at their disposal. The Padres have decided to keep it simple. But again, the fact that there's 26 guys in the dugout or in the clubhouse before the game that know, hey man, as long as 6:40 comes and we are ready to go, that's what's the most important thing. We're going to take all this eyewash out of it. We're ready at 6:40. I thought that was really cool. Love that quote.
I also liked what I saw. I think it was from AJ Cassavell from Gavin Sheets about adding, just making the little improvements in left field just to be serviceable.
Dude, so much better.
Remember when he played
the first couple of games, ran into the wall,
oh, nearly killed himself. He's only minus two outs above average.
Bro, I mean, for a guy that doesn't play left field.
Which the Padres will happily take.
100%.
With him out there in left field. He has done a serviceable job of being a left fielder, which means if the Padres really found someone, a bat they loved, but it was a designated hitter, they could leave Gavin Sheets out there, yes. I think, for the rest of the season and feel like, okay, we've got a spot in the lineup now because he has done, he's getting better jumps. He says, my reads have been better, jumps have been better, feeling more comfortable out there every day that I'm trying to get better at, and it's been fun to embrace it.
And you've seen him do it on the fly. I mean, and that is really, really a credit to him. And you got to be willing to put the work in, but it's a credit to the Padres coaching staff, too, of getting him ready and making him more comfortable. And yeah, man, I got no problem seeing Bryce Johnson run out there in the ninth inning in a 2-1 game. Neither does Gavin Sheets, man. Trust me. Like, he did his job. He comes in, he hits, plays left field. And now it does. It opens up more possibilities for A.J. Preller at the trade deadline.
And that is don't and do this for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
When we come back, we can talk more Padres baseball, including guys in the lineup, the bench, like Jose Iglesias, Bryce Johnson, who have been contributing more lately. But it's also kind of a weird day here in San Diego. I just want to lay it out on the table here.
I'm very confused, and I need some people to weigh in on this. I'm very confused.
I thought I was on drugs last night.
I did too. I thought I was as well.
We will talk about that coming up next.
And how weird it's going to be for the guy to my left.
Oh, yeah.
Later today. Very, very strange.
I'm already feeling a little queasy about it all.
Very odd.
Coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, though, gang, let me tell you about the wonderful work that they do over at QC Kinetics. Right now, they are offering free laser treatments. Now, that's not to go get your back hair removed, just so you know. If you have, there's other places for that. This is not QC Kinetics. Call them, schedule your complimentary consultation, and get it booked. They'll give you a free laser treatment. And what that will do is help decrease the pain, calm the inflammation, and increase your range of motion. They will review your x-rays or MRIs as well. If you have joint pain in your knees, your back, your shoulder, your hips, for me, it was my wrists. These guys can help you. Absolutely. They have a goal. Long-term relief for pain in all of those joints without going under the knife. They use advanced regenerative therapies like platelet-rich plasma, PRP, you've heard of it, cellular treatments that target the problem at its source. It's exactly what they did for me. And people all over the country have been able to avoid surgery. That's the most important. Get a second opinion from QC Kinetics. You got nothing to lose and a free laser treatment to gain. Book your consultation this month at QCKinetics.com or call them today, 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. You let them know. Woodsy from 97.3 The Fan sent you. 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics. I think we can save the contributions at the bottom of the order talk for another time. I want to get to this, Ben. I want to get to what is happening in San Diego today, don't you think?
It's weird. I mean, at least I think it's weird.
I think it's weird, too, but I didn't grow up here, so I don't have the connection. I know, you know, anytime you start talking about the Los Angeles Chargers, there's a faction of the audience that gets very mad at you for A, even mentioning them. Then you have the faction of the audience that's like, no, I still love them. It's me and my dad. See, like, I have no problem. Root for whoever you want to root for. Like, do it. Have a ball. I really don't care. It doesn't even bother you much anymore after all these years.
The people who still root for them don't. They're not confused as to why the rest of us hate them, though.
Not even
they understand.
They totally, totally get it.
They're not like, I can't believe you hate this team for moving to LA. They're like, no, I get it, and maybe I should too, but I just couldn't. I just wanted to keep cheering for them. But they understand it for the most part.
But I've actually seen over the last couple, when we first started on the air, oh my God, I remember Ben went on a Chargers rant. And he had like death threats against it. I remember that. Like it was, he was like pounding the table, and people were so mad, and I think even now, like, I have a lot of friends that still root for him. People I know, they're like, no, I still watch him. And I like Justin Herbert. Bro, I get it. I like Justin Herbert, too. He's a great quarterback, right? But I really don't have an NFL team. So, but I did find it very odd when I saw this a few weeks ago that they're coming back here to actually do, what, a couple of days?
They are practicing today and tomorrow at USD.
Yes. Today and tomorrow. A couple of days. And they're going to come back and practice. Now, what was the impetus behind this?
I really don't
know. Was it a Harbaugh thing because he was at USD?
There's certainly the story of Harbaugh coming back to where he began his coaching career at USD.
Okay.
Now, most teams are just starting training camp today. I think this is the day that most teams report. But because the Chargers are playing in that Hall of Fame game in Canton.
Got it.
They started last week, a week early, have been working out up in El Segundo, wherever they're training facility. And
we
and,
drove by it. Remember, we went up to that Callaway thing. Bowls. We drove by right that. There, it was badass.
Yeah,
like,
it's a pretty spectacular facility that they had built for them. Again, something else that Dean Spanos didn't have to pay for in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, hey. Everything's free up here, apparently, so why wouldn't he leave?
So our buddy Brett, who we play ball with on the Tier 1 baseball team, he says, I'm still a huge Chargers fan, but even this feels weird and a bit icky. That's my whole thing
so
about this.
Today, they're trying to make it all about the military.
Okay.
And the practices for military families. And
then
it's
hard to argue with that.
They're going to the Nimitz like this evening and doing like a walkthrough for the military on the aircraft carrier. So today is about the military. I believe tomorrow's practice is open at USD. And, of course,
they have
invited the media to cover it, both the L.A. media, if they want to come down, and local San Diego media, which includes
you,
sports directors at local television stations. So I'm credentialed and feel like it's, you know, my duty to go out and report on what's going on, at least at Chargers practice. I'm more...
It's definitely duty.
Yeah, I am going kind of with an eye on seeing, well, what's the reaction to being there? Because I don't care, you know, I don't care what the battle is for the backup wide receiver slot or, you know, how's the offensive line looking for Justin Herbert this year. I don't care at all. I mean, just as I don't care what the Dolphins offensive line looks like or the Titans linebacking core looks like. We're not going to get into the weeds of some sort of season preview. But the emotional part of this return, are people going to be mad? Are they going to be excited? Are there going to be people with signs? Are there going to be cheers? Are there going to be boos? Who's going to be out there to watch this practice? Will it be well attended? Will it be sparsely attended? I think all of these things are fascinating. And I don't really know what the answer is going to be.
I really don't either. And I did find it a little weird. I heard, you know, a couple players talking about, yeah, man, I'm excited for this. You know, this is, this is the root. These are the roots and where it came from. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, people get divorced. They move on. They get other partners. I don't want my partner, my former partner, coming back with her new partner to film a sex tape at my house, and I'm the one that has to film it. I don't, if you guys want to do that in the privacy of your own home, great. Don't ask me to hold the camera. Hey, can we use your place? Huh, that's, don't you guys, you have a place. It's up in LA, it's really nice. I've seen it, I drove by it. Congratulations, we've all moved on. No, we're going to film it at your house, and you're going to film it. You're going to hold the camera. That was what I found a little bit odd, but I guess...
Just man this boom mic here.
Yeah, you hold the mic, like Scotty from Boogie Nights. It's very, very odd. It's just odd to me. It's very odd to me. And if you're excited about going, and you're going, you're taking your son, good for you. I think that's awesome, man. I'm glad you guys have that connection. That's great. They do it... They're from L.A., though, and they left here. So that's the weird part about, like... Why? How many years has it been
I guess
now?
That's
it's been
seven.
10 years, 7 years?
7 years.
Feels like 10.
That's my thing is they haven't made
one effort
to like extend the olive branch
and
to San Diego.
All
they
of
just
a sudden,
think we can just show up
that's
and
the weird
it's
part.
Okay.
That's the weird, weird, weird part.
Yeah, it gets under my skin.
It'd be less weird if the Cincinnati Bengals were in San Diego for a week just to get some sunshine.
Of course.
That would make
perfect sense. And I would be there.
Yeah.
My son loves Joe Burrow. I would be out there watching. I just thought this was a little bit weird because the Bengals aren't from here.
What are you hoping to accomplish?
Are you trying to win over new fans from
San Diego? Yeah, I just don't get it. I never will. I obviously, financially, I'm sure they're doing fine up in L.A.
Yeah.
With a stadium that they don't have to pay for.
They are.
A facility
they
don't have
they
to
are.
Pay
yeah.
for.
They're doing very
they're
well.
They're doing just fine, but they would have been doing okay here in San Diego. To me, it just shows you, though, that they don't care about the fans at all. And can you really? I know that it's a business.
He's getting worked up.
I know it's a business. I get it. The Padres are a business as well. But when you do that and you make your entire decision based on, I'm going to make X more dollars here than I do there.
Sure.
And I don't care about 50 years of people who built their families around going to games.
Their whole lives
and dedicated
it.
Their lives to supporting me and my family's team. I can make 17% more by ripping that all away from a community and going up here where I get a better deal. How can you support a person like that and an organization like that? I don't understand how they didn't really lose 100% of their fans in San Diego.
Right, we need to talk about Bryce Johnson then because he's starting to get... So, hey, here's the other question. How are you going to handle yourself out there today? And also, will Dean Spanos be there? There's no way. No way he's here.
I would
here
be shocked.
That.
I would be shocked.
If he may be up in like a like the thing, up in the crane. The coach's crane. They put him up in one of those to look down. There's no way he's walking around shaking hands,
I would
hands,
like
right?
to think that if Peter Seidler was given the opportunity to move to L.A., and he was guaranteed 25% more if he moved up there, that there would be zero possibility that he would do that.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Like, rip the Padres out of San Diego.
I would hope so, man. I would hope so. I don't think this city, this community could ever withstand another one doing that. I'll tell you that right now. I was there the day it happened. I saw men crying. I saw men dropping their jerseys, walking away. I was there. I was working at 94.9 at the time, but they sent me down. I went down there, and I'll never forget it. I will never, ever forget what
I was
that
on
was
the
like.
Air with Kevin Acey. When, at night when Adam Schefter put out the tweet that said, it's over, they're moving. And I went down to the complex that night on my way home. I saw men just weeping.
Yeah.
Throwing jerseys into a pile. I'll never forget it. It's very weird, man.
I'm so curious as to how, if you love them, I'm good for you. I don't care. I'm go love who you love. I really don't care. I'm worried about.
I think
about,
it's weird.
I do too. But you like who you like. I don't. You know. I like weird stuff. It's fine. I'm worried about this guy going down there today to go down there to cover this independently. You know, as a journalist for your station.
I'm really.
What if he comes back and he's a fan? What if he's like a
Tolly, who is a football fan, and she does some of the sports work now at Channel 10 when I'm not there. She's going to actually go do the, like, talk to Harbaugh and the players. I'm going to focus more on the fans and see what their reaction is. Just curious. I'm just curious. Like, you know, are they going to be inside? Are there going to be anybody outside, you know, protesting? Does anyone even care?
Does anyone
have just the energy to go down there and even bother saying, I don't want you back here in my backyard. Leave. You know, leave
That's
and go back
thing.
Up to L.A. Is anyone going to even bother doing that? I wouldn't blame you if you don't. I'm certainly not expecting it. I'm just curious as to what it's going to look
like.
Yeah,
be interesting, man. It'll be an interesting sociological experiment. Look at it like that, a sociological experiment.
This is just how my brain works. Do you ever let yourself go there and just think about like an alternate universe where if they never left, like what a week like this week would be with the Padres rolling and
Massive.
In a playoff spot, and then you got training camp. Like you said, it's already started because they're getting going a little early. Antonio Gates going into the Hall of Fame. Philip Rivers retired from the NFL yesterday. I thought that happened
Released a very
5 years
sweet
ago.
Video.
Cool video,
got,
yep.
He started tearing up, started talking about his O-lineman, how much he loved them, and then he got a knock on his door there in Alabama, and
my point
they were
is,
all standing at the door, and he goes, I can't believe you guys are all here.
There's an alternate universe where Gates and Philip Rivers would be worshipped this week.
Yeah,
but like, what Philip Rivers
and
did,
I couldn't care less.
He said, the thing that I remember the most will be always that drive down into Qualcomm Stadium. Being there in Murphy Canyon. He made it very San Diego-centric when he retired. He implied, I am retiring as a San Diego Charger, not an L.A. Charger. He was there for, a year or two? And then that was it. You know, he played so many years here in San Diego. I loved interviewing Philip. I got to do it so many times, and I wish him nothing but the best and congratulate him on his career and his retirement. Those O-linemen were all good dudes that I covered for many, many years, and I wish them the best. And they're in the toughest situation because they only have two choices. Either get on board with the L.A. Chargers or really renounce the fact that you're an NFL alum, a great player, because you can't really hook on with any other team. They're not going to go honor you. And I know he played for the Colts for a year.
Right.
They're not going to do big ceremonies and retire your number in Indianapolis for one, you know, bad season, Philip. If he wants to have, you know, what he spent his life and his energy and all of his best years as the quarterback, he's got to do it with the Chargers. He has no other choice.
Yeah.
So I understand that.
Sure.
I don't hold it against Philip that he hasn't, you know, come out and said, you know, I will never have anything to do with that organization ever again. He doesn't really have much of an option.
Oh, he already retired. They're retiring his jersey.
No. He has not.
No, he retired from the NFL.
He signed a one-day contract and officially retired.
He signed it with the Los Angeles Chargers.
He did. Because he has no other team to do it with. That's his team.
It happens, guys that age like that. It does happen where they'll take a year or two off.
He was thinking about, like someone
I remember a couple years ago.
Yeah,
he was like,
let's
see how the old whip feels.
Like, legitimately, I don't know that Colin Kaepernick has officially retired from the NFL. You have to, like, submit your retirement paperwork. like guys will just hang on, and you never know. A phone call might happen.
I'm still available. I mean, I'm still here.
But he hasn't played since 2020. I looked it up. He retired like 4 years ago.
Well, listen, sure. If you're going down, have a great time. Be careful. Now, Ben.
Nobody says I can see Ben getting unhinged and getting escorted out kicking and screaming. That's not going to happen.
Have a couple of drinks before you go.
I'm not going to.
Actually.
And the media relations staff has been very polite setting it up.
Okay.
There's no reason there should be anything bad that happens.
It's just a weird one. We're going to do it. We're going to do it at your house. You're going to hold the camera. It's very odd. They have a practice facility that's 80 miles away.
Right.
It's very strange.
All right, let's talk about Bryce Johnson and Jose Iglesias after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So Jose Iglesias got the start yesterday. Didn't get a hit. Did walk once. Lined out. Had a nice opposite field line drive that was caught against Eury Pérez. I had made the argument yesterday. I wouldn't mind seeing a little more Bryce Johnson in the lineup. You can make Sheets your DH for a day or two and play Bryce in left field. He's been hitting okay. Neither of them look like they're everyday players, but Iglesias is actually hitting over 400 over the last few weeks. You know, he's picked up the bat offensively, and he did help carry the Mets last year to the National League Championship Series, especially with his play in the second half of the season. Is it possible that Jose Iglesias is coming around to be more of an important member of the San Diego Padres here for July, August, and September?
Yeah, I listened to the always eloquent Jesse Agler, who will join us this morning at 8:35, talking about, and we can ask him about this too. I want him to recap what he said on the broadcast about how strategic they have been in the second half already with getting Jose Iglesias in. You know, he spells at second, spells at short, spells at third. I feel like defensively you don't give up much with Jose Iglesias.
At most positions.
Yeah,
right?
I think you look at it and you go, I don't know what his defensive number.
They're good.
Somebody's going to call me and be like, he's a negative DRS, whatever. I don't know. He's always in the right spot, it feels like. He always makes the plays that he needs to make, in my opinion. But I think with him, it's so valuable to be able to give Crony a day off his feet, to give Manny a day off his feet, and to give Xander a day off his feet, and have a guy that can play all those very, very well. He's a big part of this team. Yeah, I'd love to see him hit more, obviously. I think it absolutely would be better if he was hitting like he did last year when he hit over 300 for the Mets.
He had like a 7 or 8 game hitting streak.
Yeah, he's absolutely fine. He's absolutely fine. I am totally, totally with him. Great. He's a very valuable piece.
It does show you, though, that when the Padres get any contributions at all out of their bench, out of the bottom of their order, it makes such a huge difference. When they don't, you know, the guys at the top have been good, but not good enough to just completely carry the team. There's too many, you know, empty spots in the lineup and the bench. But when those guys do come through and they've all kind of had their weeks or their stretches where they have done so, it makes the Padres a much more dangerous team.
No question. We still need to be deeper. I don't know that Bryce Johnson needs multiple starts, but
I'd like his swings lately. I mean, he's gotten some opportunities. All right, we'll come back. Hour number three of Ben and Woods.
You guys are going to like this next. We have a new bit all the way from across the pond.
I'm
coming
worried.
Up next, you should be. Ben eats crisps.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.